Welcome to XP Ministries. This recording is under copyright laws and cannot be replicated. This file is licensed for one user only and cannot be duplicated without written permission. We pray that this recording will bless and empower you.
All right, we're going to start lesson three now. So if you could turn in your notes to lesson three, the person of the Holy Spirit. And over this first number of sessions, what we're doing is laying a foundation of the scripture concerning the glory in your hearts and lives so that you're ready to launch into encounter and experience. So we're going to take a number of sessions, get lots of word into you, and then we're going to move into activation and encounter later on. But let's get the word as a solid foundation and solid perimeters around us so that we have real stable ground to move on. I want to feature a CD set that we have, and there's a manual that goes with it. It's called Encountering the Sevenfold Spirit of God. And when we're talking about moving into the realms of glory and experiencing the glory, one of the key things that we need to understand and walk in our experience is relationship with Holy Spirit. Because he will lead and direct us into the truth and into encounter. And he has been given to us. We don't need to go into our own mind for understanding. He will give us the understanding. He will give us the guidance that we need and quicken the word and everything to us what we need in order to come into fullness. So I highly recommend this course, Encountering the Sevenfold Spirit of God. And there's a manual that goes with it as well. But this afternoon, we're going to do one session. This course, I believe, has four different CDs on the subject. I think it's four, or is it? Yeah, four, I think. Four. And it's all about the sevenfold dimension. So this afternoon, we've just got the one session that we're going to be doing. So it's a bit of a quick overview, but very, very important for moving forward in experiencing the glory. So if you could turn in your Bibles to John chapter 16, John 16, and starting in verse 5, I want to read to you what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. Starting in verse 5, "But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, concerning sin because they do not believe in me, and concerning righteousness because I go to the Father and you no longer see me, and concerning judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you." In an earlier session, we were teaching you about through the cross, all the promises of the Lord, all the promises that the Lord gave in that covenant are yours. Jesus said, "The glory that the Father has given me, I give to you." So the Spirit of God's, one of his purposes in being sent was to disclose to you through revelation that which belongs to you. That's why the things revealed belong to you, because he takes them and discloses it to you. "All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you." Because in turn, Jesus has given all things to us. Okay? Now, we know that you read Acts chapter 1, Jesus had said to his disciples before he went away, he says, "What I need you to do," and he says, "I'm going away. I'm going to finally leave you. I've given you instruction. I've shown you the way of the kingdom of God. And now I'm going to ascend. I'm going to leave the earthly dimension, and I'm leaving you in charge. And what you're to do is don't do anything on your own initiative, but wait for the Holy Spirit, because when he comes, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. He is going to build the church. He's being left in the earth. I'm going to go to glory. When I get to glory, then the Father will release my spirit into the earth. And so the Holy Spirit was released on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. The church had been in prayer. They did as Jesus said. They went into Jerusalem until the promise of the Father came. So the Holy Spirit is now in the earth within believers. He is here right now, and he is in you right now. And he is a sevenfold, he has sevenfold dimensions of operation in and through him that are alive within you and are here in the earth because of his presence in the earth. And according to Isaiah 11, chapter 2, it says that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is, you know, like that sovereignty is within the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So those are the different dimensions of operations in the Holy Spirit, and he is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and he is with us right now. He is to be our closest friend in the earth, because he's here to lead you into realms of glory. When we're talking about experience in the glory, it needs to be out of relationship with Holy Spirit, because he's been given to us by the Father. He is a gift given to the church. And I think a lot of times, if I can just submit this to you, because I don't know about you, but I find at times I fight this. And, you know, in Genesis, it talked about a certain tree in the garden that Adam and Eve were not to eat from. And it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And there was every other plant in the garden and the tree of life they were allowed to eat from. But that one tree they weren't allowed to eat from, because he says, in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And so there's a separation that comes when we eat off that tree. And I think that within the church, especially in the Western church, is that we so often want to try to figure out everything within our own knowledge and understanding. We try to put everything through the grid of human understanding rather than go to the person of the Holy Spirit and allow him to lead us out of relationship. And you'll find that in the kingdom of God, it's all about relationship. It's not about so much the principles as to how to do things, although the Holy Spirit will teach you principles and precepts and all of that. But if it just goes in directly into your mind rather than through relationship with the Holy Spirit, I think we're missing the point. We're missing the whole thing of the kingdom of God, which is about relationship. And oftentimes I hear Christians say, you know, just show me how to do it. I want to know how to do it. Okay, teach me about what it says about this. But you can tell it's they want knowledge rather than relationship. But I found that when you go before the Spirit and you cultivate relationship with him, then he gives the impartation of understanding, but it comes in a different way. And when it comes from him, it's not just, you know, I know people that have studied the scriptures. They've been in Bible schools for years, seminaries, all kinds of things, and come out saying, I'm in unbelief. I've studied the word for the last 8 years. I've got degree after degree, but I'm in unbelief, and I can't even figure it out. And it's because it was all put inside their head. And you can have an understanding of the scripture according to your mind and miss the truth. Isn't that what happened in Jesus' day? Yeah. Jesus came as the way, the truth, and the life. And the theologians of that day who were well-studied, they gave their lives to studying the scriptures. They weren't studying Playboy magazines. They were studying the scriptures. And yet when Jesus came, they couldn't discern them. Why? Because they were in their heads. They went inside their head for head understanding of the kingdom of God and didn't get it, because it can't be through eating off that tree. It has to come out of the life-giving relationship that we've been given with God. And so Jesus cultivated relationship with his disciples, and he shows the model for discipleship in the kingdom is all about relationship. His disciples stayed with him. They ate with him. They traveled with him. They walked with him, talked with him, listened to him. You know, they stayed together in different elements. They were together, and out of relationship, they were discipled, and nothing has changed. In the early church, if you read through the book of Acts, you'll see that there was this vital relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's not just a magic formula. It's not just, you know, a formula of how to do this and how to do that, and you'll get this result if you do this, this, and this. It's about walking with Holy Spirit. What is he saying for you to do? And when we go into supernatural encounter and experience in the glory realm, if we don't follow the Holy Spirit, then we might be following our own head. And that's more dangerous than following a demon. Now, and I'm talking about people who even will try to follow scriptures out of their own head. See, the scriptures are awesome. They've been inspired by the Holy Spirit. But if you take them just out of context into your own carnal understanding, you can miss it. And that's what happened in Jesus' day. You need the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth. You know, so I just can't stress this enough. Now, just prior to receiving the Glory School teaching from the Spirit of God, I'd been at a conference with Jill Austin, who's a prophetess. And on the last day of the conference, she said to me, she said, "How well, Patricia, do you know Holy Spirit?" And I thought, that's a good question. Because in my devotions, I realized that I had mainly connected with the person of Jesus Christ and in my worship and that. And so I knew the Holy Spirit was given to us as God's gift. And I knew that, you know, he would lead and guide us. And I knew his presence when he was around. I could feel his presence and that. But I had shied away from building relationship with him, and I think it was because of this reason. Now, you need to understand that I've been a Christian for many years. I've been a Christian for over 20 years and in ministry for a number of years when this word had come to me. And I remember thinking, I don't know how to relate to Holy Spirit. I don't even know what I'm allowed to do. Am I allowed to talk to him? How many of you have been confused about that? Let's see, do I pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, but am I allowed to talk to the Holy Spirit? Or, you know, like, how does this work? Do I pray to the Holy Spirit? No, I couldn't possibly do that. I have to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And it's like saying to yourself, like, what part of me do I talk to? My physical body, my soul, or my spirit? You know, but it's all me, right? So I realized that I had not cultivated a relationship with Holy Spirit because I didn't quite get him. I didn't quite understand who he was. And, you know, I had taught, as a Christian minister, I had taught new believers and taught the body about the Godhead because I had heard someone else teach me, basically. And I remember telling new believers, yes, the Godhead. God is three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if they asked any more, like, what does that mean? I'd say, well, the best way to describe it is like an egg. You know, an egg has a shell, and it has the white, and it has the yolk. And, you know, that's the best way to explain it, and then moved on quickly. Because how do you relate to an egg yolk? You know, how do you relate to a shell? How does this fit together? Like, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, what do I do here? You know, how do I relate to God? And I knew that God was not a three-headed God. The scripture says the Lord our God is one God. So I knew he was one God, but I didn't quite understand how this all fit together. And how can I talk to this Father, Son, Holy Spirit? What am I allowed to do? So after Jill had released that strong, prophetic, piercing word of conviction and exhortation, the very next day after that conference, I was headed into my month of time with the Lord, the very next day. Wow. So I woke up early that morning. And I said, okay, Father, this is my month. I submit it to you. You know, do whatever you want to do and say whatever you want to say. And I thought back of Jill's word, and I thought, okay, Holy Spirit, I got to get to know you. And I realized I didn't have a clue really about who he was. And I said, Holy Spirit, who are you anyways? Like, you know, I just need to understand you more. And I don't know my parameters. I realized that after all those years of being a Christian, I didn't understand it. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me in an inaudible, it felt like inaudible voice. And it was like, I am the spirit man of the Godhead.
Wow.
I thought, what? And I remembered that just over a year earlier, I had been in that season of where God had helped me define the difference between my own spirit man, my soul nature, and my body. And for that whole year, he had had me praying to live out of my spirit and making all those decrees so I could define my spiritual nature. So I could see the separation of my spirit man and my soul nature and my body. And so over that year, I'd come to discern the difference because I knew that my spirit man was according to the truth concerning the word of God, and the soul operated differently. And it says that the word of God is the word of God that can pierce asunder to the dividing of the spirit and soul. And so I'd learned how to do that in that year. I became very familiar with the difference between my spirit man when I was operating out of my spirit man, when I was operating out of my soul, and when I was operating in my physical body. And I was able to differentiate it because the Holy Spirit had taught me. And now the Holy Spirit's saying, I'm the spirit man of the Godhead. I thought, whoa, just a second here. What is this? And I thought, I need chapter and verse. I got chilled because I realized deep calls to deep. And if this was true, the Father had given to us the very deepest part of his nature into the deepest part of our nature and had connected us heart to heart, that he spared nothing. As far as giving us his very own life, he had given to us the person of his own life. He had given to us to be with us all the days of our life in the earth. And I thought, whoa, you know, this is overload for my understanding right now. And so I said, oh, Holy Spirit, I need you to teach me through the word. You got to show me the word on this. Like, unfold it to me, because this is so glorious that the Father would give me the deepest part of his nature. And I began to think of, okay, spirit, soul, and body. And the body, although we know that God has a body as far as the way he describes himself within the scripture, with the nostrils, the eyes, the hands, the feet, all of that. But that Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And so Jesus is the actual physical body of God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And the physical body relates to the physical realm. And Jesus came to connect us in the physical to the heart of God. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is amazing. You know, and of course the soul is the seat of our personality, the part of us that makes the choices, makes the decisions, makes the judgment on things, has the emotion, has the mental processes and that. And I was thinking, oh Father, that's you. And then there's the spirit man within. And I thought, wow, okay, I need understanding on this. And so I began to look through the scriptures. And if you look at the titles for the Holy Spirit in your notes there, he is called the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of God, and I've given you all the references in your notes. You can look them up. He is called the Spirit of life. He is called the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of glory. The Spirit of Jesus Christ, or you could maybe put the spirit man of Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus Christ. He's the spirit of grace. He's the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, the spirit of promise. He's the Holy Spirit. He's the spirit of promise, the spirit of the Son. The Spirit, he's called the Spirit of the Lord. And it says, the Lord who is the Spirit. Or the Spirit who is the Lord, I mean. The Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of holiness. The Spirit of the Father. He's called the Holy Ghost, and he's called, of course, the Comforter, the Paracletos, and the Intercessor. And I thought, Holy Spirit, you are amazing. You are amazing. I can talk to you spirit to spirit. This is truly deep calls to deep. The deepest part of the nature of God, the very life-giving core of God himself has been given to you. He gave himself to you to that degree. He spared nothing. Not only did he give the Son to come into the earth in the physical realm, so that you would have someone to relate to. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But he's given his very own spirit to relate to you as well. Deep calls to deep. He spared nothing. He spared nothing. Do you understand this? The very life-giving part of God, he's put inside of the very center of your being so that you would truly be like him and one with him. Oh, he is not a mere influence or power. He is a person. Just like your spirit, man, is a spiritual being. It's a person. The Spirit of God is the Spirit, man, of Jesus Christ. The Spirit, man, of the Father. The Spirit, man, of the Godhead. And he's here. And he delights in being with you. It says in the Bible, who knows the mind of a man except the spirit of a man that is in him? And who knows the mind of God save the Spirit of God? You have the mind of the Spirit. You have the mind of Christ within you because the Spirit is within you. The life of God himself is within you. Oh, we can't take this lightly. So the Holy Spirit that day gave me a visitation. I actually felt his presence. I was just amazed at the goodness of the Father. I just wept. And he took me on a journey. And it was that month that he visited me every single day and gave me this course by dictation. A 30-day visitation of the Holy Spirit every day, unfolding more and more and more, step by step, showing us how we could move into the realms and dimensions of glory. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He is our instructor. He is the revealer of all things. He is the preparer of the bride. He's like, you know, the eunuch that prepared Esther for the king. He is that to us. He is like Abraham's servant that went out to find a bride for Isaac. Oh! You know, this morning we talked about the cross. And when Jesus ascended, it says in the scripture that he is seated at the right hand of the Father. We will find later on in our teaching that there are two thrones in heaven. That there is one that the Father, that God, Jesus, God sits on, and one that Jesus, man, sits on. And we have been brought as the bride of Christ to sit with Christ in the heavenly places to rule and reign as one with God in him. Amen. And it is the Spirit of God that will make this revelation alive to us. And that is why in this next season of years, in the next 7 years, you're going to see more and more teaching on the dominion of the kingdom of God, the authority of the church in the earth, because we are going to, by the Spirit of God, receive revelation as to how to ascend into that place in the heavenlies where we are seated in Christ at the right hand of the Father and ruling and reigning over nations in the Spirit. You're going to start to see harvest. You're going to start to see things spoken into existence. At the moment that they're spoken, you will see release and empowerment and authority. We're moving into that. We're seeing more and more of it all the time because this is the season for it. And the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to lead us and guide us into it all. He is going to disclose to us what belongs to us, because Jesus said all things that the Father has are mine. That's why I'm telling you, the Spirit, He will disclose to you what is mine, because I'm giving it all to you. The glory that the Father has given to me, I give unto you. He wants us to get this, and He sent His Spirit to the church 2,000 years ago to be released to us, to show the whole church and to move the church forward into the fullness of that truth, so that the whole earth could be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
Woo! Yes. Hallelujah. So there is a lot of study here that we will not be able to take time to do, but in this month that I was with the Lord, I went through the entire New Testament. I haven't even finished going through the Old Testament, looking for the presence of Holy Spirit. I went through every page of the New Testament and searched out every scripture that was in reference to Holy Spirit, for what He did, or what He does, and who He is. And so these scriptures, I've made an outline here. You can look them all up. I guarantee you, the more you meditate on the scripture, the more you'll be visited by His presence. It's just like when you focus on Him, you empower His presence in your midst. He is so amazing. But let's look at the 70 functions of the Holy Spirit found in the New Testament. First of all, He leads, guides, and directs you. And I'll let you look up all the scriptures, and I would highly recommend you taking time in your devotion times over the next number of months to go through these, make notes on it, meditate on it, get to know Him. He speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks. He speaks in you, He speaks to you, and He speaks through you. He gives and empowers you to cast out devils. When the Holy Spirit's presence is made manifest, demons tremble. And He is the one who empowers you to do all the work of the kingdom, but He empowers you. When you are filled with the Spirit, when you're empowered by the Spirit, you can cast out devils, and they will fear you. They'll say, ooh, I know the one in you. Okay, I'm leaving. We've seen that when we've cast out devils. Sometimes the devil will say, okay, I'm out of here. You know, it's because the devils discern the presence of the Holy Spirit. He releases power through the church. See, He is the Spirit of might.
Yes.
He is the Spirit of might. And when you sense or see the manifestation of the power releases, because Holy Spirit is presence. It's not some magical equation, it's Him. He releases the anointing. He is the anointing. In the Old Testament, they would take oil and anoint or smear the oil on different people or utensils or furnishings and stuff like that. When something was anointed or smeared with the oil that was a type of Holy Spirit, then it was set apart for God's purposes and empowered for God's purposes. Well, the Holy Spirit Himself is that anointing. He is that anointing. He comes upon us and He falls upon us. He can come upon whole cities. He can come upon whole nations. He's an omnipresent God, so He can be everywhere all at the same time. But He falls, and sometimes He falls in meetings. We've had Him fall in glory schools. He baptizes, and He fills people with His presence. Baptize means completely immersed into, soaked in. Whenever you choose to soak in His presence, and you call on Him to come and to fill all the pores of your being like a sponge would be filled with water, He comes and He does that. It's one of His functions. He loves to do that. I don't personally believe that baptism in the Spirit is a one-time thing. As far as being filled and immersed, you can have ongoing infillings, and we need to always be empowered in the Spirit. Gives new birth. He's the one that gives new birth. People don't get saved out of an intellectual knowledge of the scriptures. It is the Spirit Himself that gives life. He is the one who releases salvation and the new life. He leads us into worship. He will release your soul to worship Jesus. And we worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And so He's the one that empowers you to release your worship. He flows like a river from the Spirit, man. It says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And Jesus said, this spoke he of the Spirit. He ministers truth. He dwells in us. He comforts. He brings health and strength. He proceeds from the Father, because it's from the heart of the Father. He shows us things to come. He gives the gift of tongues. It's a spiritual language. He empowers us to speak and inspires us in that gift. He releases prophecy, dreams, and visions. He transports us. We talked a little bit about the being transported in the Spirit, but he also can transport physical to physical. Just all the way through the realm of time, he can take you from one moment in one place, and the next moment you're in another place, your literal physical body, and even the vehicle you're traveling into and whatever else. Glory to God. That's what kind of transport I'm going for. Brings direction, guidance, holiness. He imparts holiness. He sets you apart. We'll do a whole lesson on his holiness later. He's the Spirit of life, and he gives life, Zoe life, God's kind of life. He invites us to walk with him. He groans in us in prayer and intercession. He is the sword. He is the Rhema word of God, the quickened word of God. He produces fruit in us. He helps us in our weakness. He bears witness within us to the truth. He is the Spirit of adoption and adopts us into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, forms the nature of Christ within our being, within our whole being. He gives power to us to mortify the deeds of the flesh, to call them crucified. He ministers power, signs, wonders, and preaching. He ministers love. God is love, and so he is love. He searches for us the deep things of God. He quickens the mortal body. He brings revelation to us. He reveals to us what has been given by God. He washes, sanctifies, purifies, and justifies. He has gifts to give to his church. He seals us in the redeeming power of God. He is the Spirit of liberty, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. If you feel all bound up and confined and oppressed and squashed into a little box, break out of it, because he's the Spirit of liberty. He's the Spirit of liberty. If you're all bound up with a bondage, break out of it, because he's the Spirit of liberty. Call him the Spirit of liberty to come and release you and set you free. He changes us into the image of Christ. He is the promise of the blessing of Abraham. He releases a cry to the Father. He gives access to the Father. He builds us up together for a habitation for God. He strengthens us with might. He imparts unity and brings us into unity. He is the wine of the presence of God. He brings supply and provision. He offers us fellowship. He offers grace. He imparts grace. He is the Spirit of glory and ushers in the glory. He speaks to the churches. He calls for the bridegroom along with the bride. He conceives in us the anointings and purposes of God within us. He teaches us. He gives us commandments. He empowers us to be a witness for the Lord. He empowers us with boldness. He gives us sight. He commissions us. He restrains us when we need it also. He appoints ministries and gives authority. He releases love. He is righteousness, peace, and joy. He releases in us the confession of Christ's lordship. He brings the gospel. He has keeping power to keep us in the truth and in the light. He brings renewal to individuals and even to cities, communities, and nations. He moves on believers, and he convicts the world. Now, those are some of the things you can discover out of the Word of God. But when you get to know him in all the different functions that he has, it's amazing. Because again, this isn't about knowledge. It's not knowing about him. It's about knowing him. And so get to know him in those ways. Now, the believer in the Holy Spirit, what does the Word say about you and I who believe? It says that we are His temple. That means we're His dwelling place. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are partakers of Him. It says in Hebrews 6:4. We are to receive Him. How do we receive Him? It's always by faith. We can receive Him through the laying on of hands we see in Scripture. Sometimes there was the breath being breathed, like Jesus, when He saw His disciples, He breathed on them and He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." We can receive Him by being prayed for, or even as the Word is being spoken, people received Holy Spirit. It's your point of desire, an invitation, an appropriation. All the promises of God are for you, rather, but you need to believe and receive. And so when you see that the Holy Spirit's been given to you by the Father, saying, "Holy Spirit, I want you. I want you to come and fill me. I want you to empower me. I give you place within my life." And when you believe and receive, appropriate that promise, then He comes. It doesn't matter what you feel or don't feel. When you ask and believe, when you receive Him, when you appropriate the promise, He comes. And He is with you. And then when you start to connect with Him more and more and focus on the promises and about who He is, then His presence will grow in you, in manifestation. We are not to tempt the Holy Spirit. We are not to lie to the Holy Spirit. We are not to resist the Holy Spirit. We are not to grieve the Holy Spirit. We are not to quench the Holy Spirit or to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Blaspheme means to slander, to release speech that is injurious to divine majesty. And I'm not quite sure, you know, I know that a lot of Christians have been concerned that they've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, you know, according to Jesus, if you do that, then there's big trouble. And so people sometimes get concerned, well, what if I blaspheme the Holy Spirit and I can't be forgiven? And I'll tell you, if you still have a conscience and if it still bothers you, then you haven't blasphemed Him to a point of no return. But we need to be very careful, and I want to issue a warning here. You know, every generation calls things that God does by His Spirit demonic. In Jesus' day, even the religious leaders themselves called Jesus Himself evil. Beware of calling what is good evil. It's just as dangerous as calling what is evil good. We have so much fear in the body, especially concerning the supernatural, saying, "Oh, you got to be careful because that supernatural stuff, it can be of the devil." And there's a fear of calling what's demonic good, but it's just as evil to call what's good demonic.
That's right.
And oh, that we would have the fear of the Lord. I remember in the charismatic renewal, there's whole groups of people that said, "Tongues is of the devil." And out of their own mind, they spoke that. Tongues is of the devil. Well, if tongues is of the Holy Spirit, and you're speaking injurious speech concerning what He is doing, could that mean some trouble? So if we have a conscience where we feel a conviction and we want to come into freedom, we want to, you know, get forgiven, then I say we haven't blasphemed to a point of no return, but I would be very, very careful. I think we need to fear the Lord a lot more. And especially when you start seeing the supernatural, just don't go, because you don't understand it, just don't say, "Oh, that's of the devil, that's of the devil, oh, that's of the devil." Because if you're saying that about something the Holy Spirit is doing, it could be a dangerous place to be in. We need to honor Him. He loves to be honored. And there's a lot of times He is actually cut out of a service or not allowed to move when He wanted to move because He hasn't been honored for who He is. And when He releases truth, you know, even the body comes up and says, "That's of the devil." How do you think that makes God feel when that happens? We need to be a lot more careful with our judgments and with our tongue and with these decisions that we make on how we feel like we've got the answers and we'll just tell the whole body what's good and what's evil. Because if you have not been quickened by the Holy Spirit with proper discernment, you could actually be an enemy of God. It's a very dangerous place to be in. And I think personally, I think in the body of Christ, we are just a little bit too flippant with our tongues. And we make some pretty rash judgments on things that we don't know the first thing about. And it reveals our stupidity. It reveals our ignorance when we do that. But I believe that we have to be very careful, because it's not just a revelation of our ignorance and our stupidity. It could be a great offense against the Holy Spirit. So don't just decide, well, I don't like angels showing up in meetings, so I'm going to tell everyone it's demonic. I don't like gemstones falling from heaven, so I'm going to tell everyone they're from the devil. Because if God dropped that gemstone, you might have something to answer for in his presence.
That's right.
We are to go and baptize in his name. It says, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Why? Because they're one. People say, well, is it okay to baptize in the name of Jesus? Yes. You see, I think that we get so complicated with all this stuff. I think, okay, what do I do? Do I pray to the Father in the name of Jesus by the power of the Spirit? How do I do this all? Just throw it up there and let him figure it out, you know? But, you know, Holy Spirit is awesome. And we are to move in his gifts. We are to pray in the Holy Spirit. And we are to fellowship with him. And we're invited to commune with him. It says in 2 Corinthians 13:14, it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. What is communion? Communion is fellowship. If you're in communion with someone, you're having deep fellowship with them. You're like sharing with one another. You're sharing your heart with each other. You're fellowshipping between each other. You know, it's an engagement between the two. So you are allowed to have communion or fellowship or engagement, the sharing of hearts with the person of the Holy Spirit. Whoa. You can talk to him and he'll talk to you. You know what? I want to challenge you to get to know him personally. During that month, I said to the Holy Spirit, I said, Holy Spirit, I want you to show me everything that you love. Because whatever you love, I want to love. And I want you to show me whatever you hate, because whatever you hate, I want to hate. I want to know your heart. Show me what you love. And I remember this one morning, he showed me someone who he loved. And I could tell that he was really almost shy about revealing it to me. He says, I really, really love this particular person. It was a man of God who I knew personally. And he said, I really love this man of God. And I said, Holy Spirit, why? Why do you love him like that? And he said, because he honors me more than any other of my children in this particular nation that he lived in. And he says, he honors me. And I thought, wow. And I said, well, Holy Spirit, if you love him that deeply, I'm going to honor him. I just choose to honor him all the days of my life. I'm even going to send a gift off to him today because I know how much that would mean to you for me to honor him. I said, and then I started to cry. I said, Holy Spirit, oh, that all your children would honor you like that. Oh, that all your children, all of us, would do that to your heart, that would make you so full of excitement because we honor you so much. And I said, I'm just praying that we're going to see many, many thousands, multitudes of those who will be like that, who will honor you like that. And it just touched my heart because I saw what he loved. I got to know what he loved. It came out of fellowship with him. And he tells you these little secrets, you know, when you spend time with him and you just commune with him, he all of a sudden releases these little mysteries to you, these little secrets, these little words, and they're special. Some of them he lets you share, and others of them are too intimate to share. They're just those tender little things that maybe you might not share with anyone or just a few people in your inner circle, but he just loves fellowshipping with you. He loves that communion. It's all about relationship with him. And that's how the mysteries of the kingdom come. And you can develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I've put some points in your notes that might help you. These are not like a legalistic thing, but these are just things that I've found that have helped. I find that by acknowledging him, He manifests just by acknowledging him, saying, Holy Spirit, I know you're here. I know you're here, Holy Spirit. And I just want you to know how much I love you and how grateful I am to you for teaching me and for guiding me and for giving me revelation. And I just thank you for being my friend. I thank you for disclosing to me the things that are mine in Christ. Holy Spirit, I love your presence. And as I do that, it empowers him to manifest. I can feel him right now, actually, just by, I only took like not even 1 minute. I don't think I even spent 1 minute. But wait till you spend half an hour or an hour just acknowledging him, see what happens. I can feel his presence getting stronger and stronger right now as I'm standing here. I can feel, literally feel him all over me. He just loves to be acknowledged. And he's so humble. He doesn't like to be acknowledged because he wants the attention. He loves to be acknowledged so that he can move in your life more, so that he can serve you more, so that he can love you more, so that he can show you more things. It's his greatest delight to connect relationally with you. He loves spending time with you. So acknowledge him. Acknowledge his presence. Acknowledge his gifts. Acknowledge his nature. Acknowledge his functions. And thank him for coming to you. Invite him to take control of your life and control of your decisions. Invite him to lead you and to counsel you. Fellowship, dialogue with him as you would a friend. Journal the things he shows you. Sometimes I like to even write him letters in a journal. Just get the thoughts of my heart out on paper. Just love him. Look for him and his activities throughout your day. Be available to him should he desire to use you to release his manifest presence. Be ready to obey him. Repent when you sense that you've grieved him. I remember one time I was having a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord and wonderful time of communion. And then my mind drifted off. And it drifted off into like a negative thought. It was like an unbelieving negative thought. It was like worry and fear. And the moment I went off there, I could tell that I grieved him because his presence waned. And I said, oh, Holy Spirit, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I grieved you. And I think the church needs to be maybe more aware of the way that we've grieved Holy Spirit. One time I had a vision and the Holy Spirit was sitting outside the church, outside of a church building, sitting on the ground with his head down like this. I said in the vision, Holy Spirit, what are you doing out here? He says, well, they don't want me in there. And he was just waiting. Just waiting patiently to be invited in. I thought, how many times have we left him outside of our heart, left him outside of our thoughts, left him outside of our plans, and he's just sitting there so humbly, just waiting, never barging in where he's not invited, but just waiting, hoping that we'll invite him in because he can bless us, he can help us. Enjoy him. Rest in his love. Amen. Developing a prayer time with the Holy Spirit. I find that confession really helps. Confessing the truth of the Word of God and declaring the power of God and just confessing the things about God, his names and that. And then supplications, it means to request favors. You're allowed to ask Holy Spirit for favors because you're a favored child. And favored children get favors. All right, so don't be afraid to make supplication for yourself and for others. And then there's adoration, a time of just adoring him, adoring the Lord, loving the Lord and allowing the Spirit to lead you into worship. Intimacy, adoration will lead you into deep levels of interaction with the Lord. Yield your heart to him as you worship and adore him. Share your love and allow him to share his with you. Intercession, when you invite the Holy Spirit to help you pray, he'll share his heart with you. And a lot of times we just pray for what's on our heart, and that's fine. He loves being at our prayer meetings, but he really likes it when we go to his. And he's got things that he sees in the earth where he wants to see the downloads out of heaven. And if we'll listen for him, then he will show us what to pray for, and we can engage with him in that kind of intercession meeting. It's wonderful. And thanksgiving, give thanks to the Father for the Spirit and for all things. And then praise, just praise him throughout your day. Praise him for his goodness. Praise him for his awesome presence. Praise him for his love. and live in an atmosphere of praise. Live in an atmosphere of praise. I'll connect you to the divine probably more than anything. Just when you have a praise, just even one praise within your heart in the midst of a really difficult time will bring the presence of Holy Spirit onto that scene and into that situation so quickly. Oh, isn't it wonderful that we're invited to walk, to live, to breathe with a person of Holy Spirit? He is so amazing. And I want to share one thing in closing. We're going to invite him, of course, to come and fill us afresh. And we're going to yield ourselves to him. We're going to go through a prayer time. And then I want to share a testimony, and we're going to respond to him. But just ask him right now to show you any time that you've grieved him, any time that you've resisted him, any time that you've hurt him. And as things come to your mind, just receive forgiveness. Say, Lord, I confess this as a sin. I'm so sorry. And receive forgiveness from him. Receive his forgiving love. Receive the cleansing that he has. Lord, we're so sorry. Holy Spirit, we're so sorry for any time that we've denied you, where we've walked in pride, where we've grieved you, where we've transgressed you. We're so sorry. Even when we've ignored you, we're so sorry. And we ask that you would forgive us. And Holy Spirit, we ask right now that you would fill us so fully with your presence, with your love, with your being. We thank you that you are the Father's gift to us, and we accept you. We ask you to fill us afresh and fill us with everything that you came for. You're the Spirit of truth. Fill us with truth. We yield to you afresh as you fill every part of our being. Just fill us, immerse us in your presence, Holy Spirit, because we love you. We want the deep things of our Father. Who knows the mind of God except the Spirit of God? Oh, Holy Spirit, reveal to us the mind of our Father. Reveal to us his heart, his likes, his dislikes. Holy Spirit, we want your friendship. We want your camaraderie. Come and fill us now. Come and fill us now. Wow. How many of you are feeling the presence of God fall on you? Wow, I can feel his presence so strong up here. It's awesome. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, we want to have such a close relationship with you. You are so humble, and we want to be humble like you. You are so meek. We want to be meek like you. You are so strong. We want to be strong like you. You're so wise. We want to be wise like you. Come and fill us, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. He takes us so seriously when we invite him, he comes. There is such a heavy presence in this room right now. That's the delight of the Holy Spirit. He is so touched that we would invite him in this way. He is so touched. He is so blessed. You know, he is very, very humble. And it doesn't take very much to please him. He just a moment, just a focus on him, just touches him deeply. Holy Spirit, we want to see you blessed. We want to see you blessed. We want to love what you love and hate what you hate. We want to be filled with you daily, and we give you permission to lead and guide us into the glory. We acknowledge that you are the Spirit of glory. Wow. Wow. Whoa. If you are feeling the presence of the person of the Holy Spirit right now, I'd like you to just stand to your feet. Wow. Lord, let your people drink even more now. Drink more of you. That's it. Just drink, drink, drink of his presence. Drink of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we love you. Wow. Wow. Sometimes I just like to breathe them in. Woo. Holy Spirit, take us on an adventure with you. Revealing the mysteries of the kingdom of God. We love you, Holy Spirit. We humble ourselves before your presence. We acknowledge that you are the Spirit of truth. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wow. Soften us. Empower us. Heal us. Enlighten us. Deliver us. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Just as you're soaking in Him, there's a story that I love out of Genesis, and it's where Abraham sent his servant to go find a bride for Isaac. And that servant is a type of the Holy Spirit, and Abraham's a type of the Father, and Isaac is a type of Jesus in that one way that you can look at it. And the Holy Spirit, or the servant, prayed and said, "Give me favor so that I will know the woman who is the bride for Isaac, that she will be the one who will say to us, 'I'll give you water and water for your camels also.'" And the servant had taken 10 camels, which to me is a symbolic number for the word of God or the commandments of God. And he ladened all the camels with gifts, filled them all up with gifts, piled up the gifts high. That speaks to me of the gifts of the Spirit. It speaks to me of the word of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And the servant took all the 10 camels to go find the bride. And what identified the bride was that she was willing to give water to the servant, water to the Holy Spirit, and to his servants also, to the camels, the ministers of the word and the Spirit, the gifts. And when Rebecca saw him, she said, "Let me draw water for you. Let me refresh you. Let me draw water for you and for your camels also." And he said, "Ah, this is the bride. This is the bride." And there's something about when we refresh Holy Spirit, when we pour out water upon Him, when we give Him love, when we give Him blessing, when we give Him response, that's the heart of the bride. And the servant said to Rebecca, "You're the one. You're the bride for Isaac." And he gave her gifts. And she had drawn a lot of water. Apparently, one camel can hold 30 gallons, and there was 10 camels. Maybe she drew up to 300 gallons of water on her shoulder. But it was her heart to bless. It was her heart to make that sacrifice. And many of you are going to come into bridal revelation because of the way that you refresh Holy Spirit. That when you get into His presence and you just love on Him and refresh Him, it identifies you as the bride. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you prepare us as a bride for the Son. We are the bride of Christ, and that you would prepare us. And you have your eye on us, and that you are lavishing us with goodness, but we want to lavish you. And you know, after she had given him the water, she said, "Would you come to my house? Would you come to my Father's house? Would you come to my house and abide there? And if you will come, I'll make sure you're looked after really well. And your camels also. I'll give them fresh water and fresh straw, a fresh place to rest. If you will come to my house, you'll be looked after well." And for some of you, you're going to give him fresh invitation right now to come to your house, to come to your life. "If you come to my life, Holy Spirit, if you'll come, I will give you refreshment. I will take care of your presence. I will make sure you're comfortable. I will make sure that you're blessed." You know, so often we want the blessing from God, but oh, what a privilege when we can bless Him. And there's something about the heart of the bride that is attentive to the desires of the Holy Spirit, that is attentive to the care of the presence of God in our midst. And Holy Spirit, we want to take care of you. We want to nurture your presence. We want to make you so comfortable that you'll never want to leave. Whoa. And not only you, but your camels also. The ministers of your spirit, the minister of your gifts, the ministers of your word. Whoa. Holy Spirit, we love you. We honor you. Come to our house now afresh. Wow. Be comfortable in us. May we do nothing to grieve you. May we think only the thoughts that you love. May we speak only the words that you love. May we do nothing to grieve you. Come to our house and let us refresh you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, what a privilege to know him. Amen. Amen. You can be seated and just stay in the glory presence because he is here. And what we want to do is give you opportunity to give a gift right now as we're in his presence and honoring him. And just even in the light of that scripture, and those of you that are watching by DVD also, you know, just feel free to go online and to give a gift. But it says that the bride refreshed the servant and the camels, the carriers of the word and the gifts. And so we're going to give a gift with a focus on our love for Holy Spirit right now. And if any of you would like to partake, there's never any pressure to give in any of these offerings. We only give because we long to. And I've been praying a scripture over the last few days over our team and over our intercessors. And this morning on the way in, I prayed it over all of you. And it's for you in many different aspects, but also in your giving. But it says in Deuteronomy 1:11, it says, "May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold, not 30, 60, 100. This is 1,000-fold more than you are, and bless you just as he has promised you." And that's for whatever you're walking in right now, for whatever blessings you're sowing right now, like if it's sowing the gifts that God's given you in evangelism or mercy ministries or whatever, that you would increase in those things 1,000-fold. And for this offering, we pray 1,000-fold increase upon it. I'm no more going to pray for 100-fold return. Yes. It's like, I've seen this now. It's mine. When it's revealed, it's yours. Amen. And so I would like to give you opportunity for anyone that wants to give. And if you want an envelope where you can fill out, you know, a Visa card number or MasterCard or whatever, or put cash offerings in, just raise your hand and we'll get the envelopes out to you. If you're making checks, if you could make them payable to CSA. And let's call this a bridal offering. This is like what Rebecca did. It was her heart to refresh Holy Spirit. And he was touched by that, and it was what marked her as a bride. And so let's just mark this as a bridal offering right now as we show our love and honor for Holy Spirit. Just lift up your hands high. And if you are watching by DVD, if you want to make out checks, you can make them payable to CSA and mail them in to the address on your screen. Or you can go right online at xpmedia.com and go to the donation page and give there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your goodness. Empower us afresh, Holy Spirit. Just as we're preparing our offering, Shirley was sharing with me just the other day a revelation that she'd received from the Holy Spirit. And she said that he showed her that those who had sown in the last 7 years, we're going to reap exponentially in this next 7 years. And I thought of so many of you who have been so faithful in your giving to Him of your love, of your financial gifts, of your talents, that you have so from your heart given to Him. And there's going to be exponential release and blessing for those that have been sowing into His kingdom and into His presence. And I just want to bless you with that. And she also had another part of the word. She said, for those that haven't sown, they were like the ones that were given a talent but buried it. This will be the season that will be taken and given to others. And that's scripture, actually. Jesus taught that in the parable of the talents. He said, when you bury what you have and you don't make the investment, even that which you have will be taken and given to another. And in the kingdom realm, especially in the glory, the more you give, the more presence comes, the more worship you give, the more praise you give, the more prayers you offer, the more of your talents you invest, the more finances that you invest, the more return comes. It's just the way the glory realm works. And when you sow into an atmosphere of the glory, there's exponential return. Do you know that in places where there's been revival in the past, like Guatemala and places in Fiji where the fish grew really big and plentiful, and in Guatemala where all the, you know, I've seen the radishes that are huge and carrots the size of your arm and all that. I've actually seen them and touched them and handled them. But that was when the glory atmosphere came. Everything grew bigger and more than what they could ever have imagined because the glory was there. And we have learned that when you live in the realm of the glory, sometimes you'll get a vision and you just no sooner have the vision than it's manifest. We can't hardly keep up with it, the stewardship of it all, because as God downloads it, it just comes into manifestation. So I want to encourage you to really learn this principle. There's a principle, a kingdom principle, and I know that those who really move forward to have fruitfulness and increase in their life is because they sow in the glory, and the understanding that God gives gets increased because they move in that understanding. And even today, as you've heard many messages, for those of you that are in the live seminar, you've had actually 4 sessions today. It's a lot of session, but you know, as you go out and share some of the insights that you've received with others, then you'll get more in return. It's the way it works. It gets bigger on the inside of you because we were created to give. And I want to especially encourage you to give love to Holy Spirit, to give attention to Holy Spirit. And it's an investment that you'll never be sorry you made. So Lord, we just pray over this offering right now. And we ask, Lord God, that you would receive it as an offering of love. That just like Rebecca had a heart to bring refreshment and to bring honor and grace, and she just did it from her heart. We give you this from our heart. We're not compelled to give. We don't have to give. We understand that. We're giving because we're the bride. We give because we are the bride and because we want to lavish you with our love. And so receive this as a bridal offering. And may you be so blessed by it. May you be so refreshed by it. May it be a true gift to your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know, as Rebecca gave that gift, she was blessed back. And it's just the way the kingdom works. We can't fail in that. It's just like you always get blessed back. Even if you don't want, you know, sometimes I say, God, I wish I could give you a gift in secret. Because I just want to give it without being blessed back. He said, you can't. It's impossible. The law's already out there. It's done. But He knows our heart. Amen. Amen.
For more information about Patricia King and XP Media, visit us online at xpmedia.com. We look forward to building relationship with you. xpmedia.com.